our body is. Father, with God, we thank you right now for this time, this opportunity, God. And God, you know, we labor before you, God, just in the word, always in the word, laboring in the word all the time. The word has become a part of our life. It's a part of our being. It's a part. Your word is what has helped me through these difficult times and difficult moments. And I know it has helped everyone else that's under the sound of my voice, that we have been certainly blessed. The more we have consumed your word, oh God, the greater we become. Our health, our mentality, just our knowledge and everything, oh God, because we're consuming the word. And I pray today, God, that your word will move in a supernatural way, oh God, that it would just do what needs to be done in all of our lives, oh God, because every one of us, oh God, are experiencing something inside, outside, all around us. But we thank you right now, God, for your shield of protection, your grace and mercy, just for your faithfulness, oh God, upon all of us in the name of Jesus. And God, we know that your loving kindness is what draws us into where we are right now. And we refuse. I know I do. I refuse to go anywhere else. I refuse to turn to the right, turn to the left. I want to stay right on course, oh God. So God, I pray now that you would speak now, God. Use me as a vessel, oh God. I move myself out of the way so that you can have your way in the name of Jesus. And I thank you now, God, for blessing me in the word already, God. I receive your word right now in the name of Jesus. Well, Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. We have been talking from several passages, but our key passage coming from out of Lamentation, the third chapter of Lamentation. And that's on page, in the Voice Bible, it's on page 962 for you. And I'm going to read that, but I'm going to read out from my King James Version. I'm going to read that because that's our touchdown scripture. That's where we go. That's our key scriptures. So I want to read that. And out of the King James, it reads, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed because his compassion fails not. Verse 23 says, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And that's out of the King James Version. And I would read it out of the other version, but for some reason, my eyes are having a little problem with the blurriness out of my eyes. I'm not sure what's going on with it, but I put that in God's hand too, because I still can see good. I still got 20/20. But I want to talk to you. I'm going to be coming to you out of St. John, the ninth chapter. I'm going to be reading, and it was just something that I believe the Lord had just dropped in my spirit, just to kind of hopefully to encourage you. I know it encouraged me as I was reading, and the more I read, the more I began to start seeing, just out of these passages and out of the ninth chapter. Actually, you can read the whole chapter, but I'm just going to take out a few verses out of there. And out of here, I'm going to start at verse 1. Y'all have it, just wave your hand, because I know you muted right now. So in your, I did have it. St. John, the ninth chapter. And that would be in your Bible, in the Voice Bible, would be 1305. In the Voice Bible. All right. Y'all got it. Just nod your head. Let me just see. I want to say thank God, because I heard, Connie, I just want to apologize because I didn't get to call you on yesterday. But I just want to say, I heard that your things went well for you with your surgery. I didn't get to get a text message or anything like that, but I'm glad that things went well for you, and just be encouraged, because you know that you're in God's hand. All right, so that's here we got coming from out of the ninth chapter, and I did put you a copy out too, Miss Jackie. And it says in this ninth chapter, it says, while walking along the road, Jesus saw a man who was blind since birth. Verse 2 says that the teacher's disciples, they spoke. They said, teacher, who sinned? Who is responsible for this man's blindness? Did he commit sin that merit his punishment? Ain't that something? Did he commit sin? Anything that goes wrong, you know, sometimes when something happened, you look to, you know, some people be deformed there, or, you know, something's going on in your life. The first thing they want to say, did somebody commit sin? And it's not all the time that it comes about sin, you know. And then it goes on to say, let me read this. It said, who is responsible for his blindness? Did he commit sin that merit this punishment? If not his sin, is it the sins of his parents? They just want to know where it's at. You know, it's somebody did something wrong. It just didn't happen. These things don't happen, you know. And I know when I was first coming up in the church back in the day, you know, I know they used to say a lot of times that, you know, that if something went wrong in your house, you know, then, you know, everything got blamed on the devil. You know what I'm saying? And that's the thing. And I always wonder, you know, it's like, well, you know, because we went through hard times and things like, you know, when you weren't able to pay your rent, you got fired off your job, you know, your car broke down, or just several things that then took place. And you like, man, what in the world? And it comes out that we first thing we say, people say, oh, well, you know, the devil is involved. It's not all the time that the devil has something to do with it. You know, some things happen for a reason, for God to show God how merciful and how faithful God is. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I know y'all saying amen, wave your hand or whatever. And see, and Jesus said, hey, listen, did nobody do anything wrong? You know, this didn't come by this. But here's what he says. Jesus says in verse 3, he says, neither his blindness cannot be explained or traced to any particular person's sins. So it couldn't be traced back to nobody's particular sin, you know. And I know in our natural way that we think, we sometimes we feel that way. Like I said, you know, your car break down, or, you know, you get in an accident like I did, lost my car and stuff like that. You know, what do you do wrong, Pastor? You know, nothing. I was just driving down the road. I won't even go on the speed limit. I was just riding down the road, and I was just listening to some music, you know, praising God, thinking about how good God is on my way to Miss Jackie's house, you know. I guess I was sinning riding down the road, and I I saw the traffic backed up way back, and I said, I better get in this left lane and drive on down the left lane. I could have took a detail because I did have a phone call that said, come by my house. But I didn't want to go by this particular person's house because that was not the place where I needed to have been. Y'all understand? But that could have possibly changed the whole scenario in that sense and put me in a whole different scenario in another sense. So I was faithful to the word of God. I'm keeping forward. Okay? So God says, hey, you know, Jesus said, He is blind. So check this out. He is blind so the deeds of God may be put on display. I've read this. I ministered on these passages of scriptures, you know, and this third verse never hit me like the way it did today or this early this morning when I was just going back over this. And I said, wait a minute. Jesus said, but we don't know where this came from. But here's what I want you to understand, that he is blind so the deed of God may be put on display. So that means something's getting ready to happen. Something's getting ready to take place. You know, a lot of times, you know, we pray to God and, you know, and for God to perform miracles. We pray to God. And God knows, I thank God, I've been thinking about how faithful God has been to our ministry, you know, and to our membership, you know, and to our families, you know, through the power of prayer, because we constantly stay faithful, you know, to God and just doing, even though we're not even come together as a unit, except for on TV, except for on the telephone, you know. But we haven't been to the point where we fellowshipping together, congregating together, you know, hugging on one another. We've been hugging on, loving on one another, kissing, I love you, I love you here, you know, and on Zoom, you know. Yeah, you know, or we might ride by your house and just honk the horn and wave at you, you know, and you know, Nick can't do that because she's in Carolina, but, you know, we just like, oh, you know, just get to that place. Some of us have been able to, come together. But we have seen the manifestation of the power of God. We've seen God display his magnificent miracle working hands, healing hands, deliverance hands, you know, because of our faithfulness, because of where we are standing, you know. So out of all that we have done with this small group of people that we have come to know our core group, you know. This is our core group, and God has taken us and shown us that, hey, if you just stay faithful, if you just stand, watch what I do no matter what happens. You might feel get sick in your body, but you just stand, because what's going to happen here? You're going to see the deeds of God be manifested. You're going to see the God deeds of God be displayed, and we have seen that because no, we have not had besides, you know, Sister Linda, her people's got her sister and her brother Terry, you know, they ended up getting the virus, you know, but they still here. They didn't die. They wasn't the statistic. They was a statistic of the other thing. But through it all, what did God do? God showed himself. We seen the deeds of God manifested. You see what I'm saying? So the thing about it is that this stuck with me. The deeds of God may be on display. So here it is. You goes on. Jesus says, verse 4, he talks about being that while you got to work while it's day, because when the nighttime comes, no man can get no work done. You know, y'all can't work at night. You can't work in the dark. So you got to work while it's light. You got to stay. You got to keep it getting. You got to keep getting. When it's nighttime comes, we supposed to lay our heads down and get ourselves together for the next day, preparing ourselves for the next day. You know, instead of trying to do it all and get it all done, we work it day and night, night and day, night and day. We never stop working. I'm guilty, but God's taking me to a whole nother level. But look, here's what it says in verse 6, he says, after he said these things, he said, he spat on the ground. He spit on the ground and he mixed saliva and dirt to form mud. Mm-mm. You see, and the thing about this is this man blind, so he can't see nothing. He don't even know what Jesus is doing. Sometimes we just need to close our eyes. When we already talked to God, sometimes we just need to keep our eyes closed and just walk by faith and just trust God with our eyes closed. You know, we you know, it's like that game show that used to come on, and they put the people in the room and it's pitch black in the room. I can't remember the name of it, but they get in there and they woo, you don't know where to go. You know, it's just like us. If we in a room and we get in our own house. In our own house that we've been living in the house for 10 years, all the lights go off. We get almost scared to death. So if you get scared at night then with a pitch black like that, why are you out there trying to work? Let me leave that alone. Okay. All right. So here it says, after he said these things, Jesus spit on the ground and mixed it up, mixed the saliva and the dirt together to form some mud, and which he smeared it. He smears across the blind man's eye. He put the mud on his eyes. Well, this guy, he don't know nothing going on. All he knows is that, hey, man, I don't know what's going on, but evidently it must be something good. I don't know what this dude done did. He done got some dirt. I don't even know whether he knew that he actually spit, you know? Because he said in a lot of verses, he talked about he just took some mud. He took some mud and he put it on my eyes. That's what he said. He took some mud and put it on my eyes. In the verses down, that's what he said. So he all knew that Jesus spit on the dirt, rubbed it together. Because if he had known that Jesus spit on dirt and put it and gonna put it in his face, you think he would have allowed him to do that? How many of y'all would have allowed me to spit on dirt and just put it in your face? You better not spit on me. I was talking to somebody the other day. We were talking about somebody spitting on you. But you spit on me? I remember when I was going to school, in high school. I was in middle school, junior high school. No, I was in high school. This cat just spit on me. Just poop in my face. I snapped. David, I went off. I got 3 days suspension because I went off. He spit in my face. But here's this fella here, you know, he allowed Jesus to put mud, spitty mud on his face. Spitty mud in his face. Covered it up. And then here's what Jesus said. This is what Jesus told him. He said, he spilled to the blind man, you know. And see, you know one thing about this Bible here? It kind of cracks me up because it talks about the blind man, as you go along, you're going to see the difference in what this blind man changes from blind man to something else as it goes on. But he told the blind man, he said, go wash yourself. Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. That's what he said. Go wash yourself. He didn't say, go wash your face. You know, he didn't say, just go wash your face. He said, go wash yourself. Go get yourself in the pool. Because now something is about to take place. Something is about to happen. So I need you to just get out here and go jump in the pool and wash yourself. He didn't say, just wash your eyes out and come on back. So you'll wash yourself. And here it says, Siloam means sent. So, his name reminds us that his healing was sent by God. The man went, washed, and returned to Jesus. His eyes now alive. This says his eyes are now alive with sight. This is his eyes are not just open, but they're alive. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. His eyes are alive. His eyes are now living, you know. So I got to thinking, I said, well, God, so once we get you and you get inside of us, then something happened to us. We begin, you know, we pray for the God, open my eyes. Open my eyes. There's some songs out there that sing, you know, talk about open our eyes. They said, open my eyes so that I can see. I was blind and now I can see. I remember when I first got saved, it was unbelievable that what I seen was so much different than what I used to see. Y'all had that experience yourself. I know you did. I don't know why sometimes you need to just go back and think about it and just testify about it. Oh, when I first got saved, first came into Christ, when Christ came into my life, when I accepted him as my Lord and Savior, my eyes, the first thing I said was my eyes. When I went and ran and told Billy and Clint, I said, you know what? I don't know what happened in church. I accepted Jesus. I went to the altar. The pastor prayed for me. He laid hands on me, and he said, believe. Do you believe? And I said, yes, sir, I believe. And I cried, and tears falling from my eyes. And then when my eyes really cleared up, it was just like brand new eyeballs. I mean, it was just like me putting on a new pair of glasses. You know how it is when y'all put on a new pair of glasses. Like when we used to put on a new pair of glasses, when the old ones don't work as much as like they used to, they don't. Their clarity is not as clear as it used to be. But boy, when that eye doctor gives you those new glasses, them frames that you just picked out, and you put them on, and you look around, you say, "My God, everything looks so much different. It looks like you're looking at super high definition." And I can tell you, I didn't have glasses for a long time. I went to the little eye doctor down in Lynnhaven Mall, and he put me in a pair of glasses. My eyesight was so clear. I was riding in the dark with no headlights on. I drove all the way from Lynnhaven Mall, all the way to Military Highway and Virginia Beach Boulevard without no lights on at night. At night. The guy said, blow the toilet. Sir, you know your lights ain't on? I said, my goodness. I said, I just got a new pair of eyeglasses. I ain't even know. And he laughed and I laughed. But see, this is what happens with Jesus. Jesus, once we come into him and he opened us our eyes, we begin to start seeing everything look clear. No longer not the way we were. Not that way anymore. So anyway, his eyes come alive. Your eyes now, they are alive. They're living again. You can see better. And then the neighbors and others, they who knew this guy, they seen that they were confused. Is this the man that was there before? Verse 8 saying, is this him? That looks like him. The beggar, the guy, blind beggar that sits out there every day asking for asking for alms. That's what they called it back then. They, you know, it's like they when you're out there, you ride past the people out there holding up the sign. I'm going to thank God for Jesus. I love you. I'm hungry. My family needs food, you know. And what we do, we turn around and we give them food. Let me do this. I had a little topic, too. Let me give you this, too, so you understand where I'm coming from. All right. It says, are we talking about faithfulness, okay, or being faithful? And I had a little subtopic to go along with this. It's that when God opens a door for you, it works for you. So when God opens a door for you, it works for you. When God opened the door for me, it works for me. You can put it personal. When God opens the door for me, it works for me. Okay? That was it. That was a little subtopic, you know. And that's what I'm talking about. See, because God, this man been sitting out there for all this time. All this time, this man been sitting out there. I don't know how long he's been sitting out there. I probably could do some research to find out. But he's been out there for a long time, you know. And nobody, he couldn't see anything. He's been blind from birth. He's been he's just been out of sync. His life was just, you know, I don't even know how old he was because it didn't say. And that don't even matter right now. Only thing that matters is that a man came, spoke to him, put some dirty water on his eyes, mud on his eyes, and then told him to go wash himself. And this man believed so that he just did what this man said. Now, he ain't see Jesus. He ain't even know it was Jesus. It could, you know, it wasn't the Pharisees or Sadducees. You know why? Because it was on the Sabbath day, and nobody does anything on the Sabbath. It's against the law to do anything on the Sabbath. It's against the law. And so he did this on a Sunday. On a Sunday. You can't do nothing like that on no Sunday. You know, you can't heal nobody on Sunday. You can't do anything for nobody on Sunday, but you supposed to just go to church. That's it. You can't do anything. Jesus, he said, well, he told me to do this. He laid his blood on my eyes, and now, shoot, I see. I'm better. My eyes are better. So here it was, yeah, that's the bigger man. That's the man that been sitting out there in the pool all this time. He's been sitting out there in the pool all this time. And now he can see. Who did this to you? Who opened up your eyes? He don't know who it was. All he knows is that they said it was Jesus. He never seen him. He didn't really know what Jesus looked like, according to what the scripture was saying. He didn't even know what he looked like. He was standing up there talking to him. In these scriptures, in the passage, he was standing up there talking to Jesus and didn't even know he was talking to him. He was really blind. You know, the Pharisees said he was faking. They didn't think he was real. You know, and sometimes, folks, when things get tough, when God begins to start moving in our lives, when God gets to moving because of your faithfulness and because he is our faithful God, you know, he's the one that is that no matter what, if you remain loyal to him, that he would do things that we can't even imagine. And I keep saying over and over again that as long as we are just doing what God tells us to do, and I know we're not perfect, and we have our ups and downs. I know things that we deal with life struggles every day. We go through periods of being lonely. We go to periods of being sad. We go to periods of not wanting to work on our job. But still, no matter what happens, our kids get on our nerves, you know. Some of us wish we had kids, you know. Our life just seems like it's going upside down. But yet and still, as long as we stay faithful, as long as we just hold on to what the word says, as long as we maintain that our new morning is going to come. It's going to come. You know, our transformation is going to take place. The Lord's mercy is everlasting. His time, God takes his, God's timing and our timing is so much different. If we can just get off of this timing that we are functioning and operating on and get on God's timing, that said, Lord, no matter what, when I rise up in the morning, I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are. I don't have a whole lot to say, you know. And I remember I was talking to somebody the other day, and I was like, I remember the times that we used to get up when we get to pray. And we,
Father, God, I thank you for your goodness and your mercy. God, have your way right now. Like God, that's going to make a difference whether God come to me or not. When I got to the point where I understand that I can just say, Lord, Jesus, you know, God, I am here. Jesse, Gray Jr., me. Lord, dude, I need you to come into my life. Somebody said, what are you calling God dude for? He's a dude. And you women, y'all can call him a her if you want to, because he's a her too. He's a everything. So he's whatever I want him to be. And he's been my faithful him. He's been my faithful whatever. And even in the midst of the time when I feel like I'm just tired of being alone. He is my everything. So could he be my woman? Yes, he's my everything. He's my wife. And for you all, your women, he's your husband. He's everything to us. He's a baby. That's what. He's your baby that you can rock in the cradle. But see, God is faithful, and he's been that way through the beginning, from the beginning of time when he first created us. He was faithful to us. He was faithful, and he's continually being faithful. We don't always be, but he's always is, you know, and that's what makes it so good. You know, I said, Lord, I don't have much of anything. He said, yes, you do. You have a whole lot, sir. I said, and he reminds me of that little that I have as much in him. You know, he reminds me that the business, small business is a great business. He reminds me that the broke car is a good car. He reminds me that your body tore up, but it's going to be fixed, because this body is only for temporarily shale. You know what I'm saying? So no matter what happens in my life, he reminds us over and over again, you know, through his word, through you and you and you, through your prayers, you know, through we just coming to the knowledge, just let God have your way with me. God, just take control of me. God, just move in my life. God, just take me. And these material things don't mean anything anyway. It don't. I look good today. I feel good today. Mm-hmm. My beard looks nice. My hair is nice. You know? Yeah. The past couple of days, I worked real hard. You know? But I feel good. And I feel good. Yesterday, I wasn't feeling good. Yesterday, I was worried. But you know what? Do it all. I can walk it out. I've learned to overcome all these obstacles in my life. I've learned to. I refuse to let the enemy take control. He's not taking control of this, not no more. And, you know, so we got to stay faithful. Stay faithful. There's another note that I want to read to you right quick. It says about faithfulness. It says, faithfulness comes from a place of trust and loyalty. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is a confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. It is one thing to simply believe in him, but it's another thing to be faithful to God. This shapes up the way we live. It shapes up the way we live, you know, trusting faithfully, believing faithfully in everything that we do not see, you know, but understanding that no matter what, God is in the midst of it. No matter what, God has it under control. So, yeah, you might not have it all that you want, but guess what? You've chosen. And when we realize that we're chosen, we are a royal priesthood. We used to talk about that all the time. I am a chosen generation. I am of a royal priesthood. I am no longer of this earth. We used to holler in our church. We used to holler, I am an alien. Pastor, she was screaming out, we are aliens. I am an alien. And I think I started that some years ago, because we are not of this world. So because we're not of this world, guess what? And this blind man, he comes by the time they got to the end, he was no longer called the blind man. He was no longer he became the formerly blind man. That's what happened. He became the person that used to be blind, but now he sees. Because of what? Because his God's faithfulness and his love towards all men. And that's what brought him into this place. So we love you.
God bless you. May heaven smile upon you. And at this point, we're going to close this chapter. Thank God for the word. I pray that you were inspired by something that was said. And just want to pray. If you're not trusting God to that point, you know, I just want to pray for you today. And as we prepare ourselves also for communion, but I want to pray for you in that area that you will trust in God, because that's if we don't, folks, if we do not, it's going to make life tough. It's going to make life even tough. We made it through this. None of us, some of you were scared to life. Scared to life. It brought you into the place where you stayed home. You read your Bible now. You know, you study. I hope, pray that you continue doing that, you know, now that things is opening up. But, you know, but just committing yourself even more, because what I found out that through all of this, you know, this guy wanted to be committed. He, at the end of the book, to this end of this chapter, he just wanted to be a follower too. You see what I'm saying? And he wasn't afraid to tell folks, you know, but in that time, you couldn't talk about Jesus. You couldn't even, his parents were scared to bring his name up. You see, who did this? You better ask my son. He old enough to tell you. He ain't no kid. He old enough to tell you what happened. Go to him, you know, because they didn't want to be stricken, you know, because of the crazy laws that was, you know, the Jewish laws that we don't abide by those laws. It's just what God says, you know. But so I just want to encourage you, you know, just to continue praying, continue calling on Jesus. Give yourself time in the word, praying. You know, I like to say, give yourself in a 24-hour day, give God 10% of your 24-hour day. Commit starting today, giving God 10% of your day. You know, many of you probably I believe many of you, all of you give your 10% of your tithing, give offerings, you know, but give God your time, give God 10% of your time and watch what happens in your life. Watch what happens. Yeah, you might have some bumps, some knocks and ups and downs, but give them 10% of your life, of your time, and watch what happens. What are you talking about? What are you talking about, Jesse? What are you talking about? It's 10% of your time. You know, it's 24 hours in a day. So give them 2 hours, 40 minutes. Give it to them. I think that's right. You know, give them that. You know, you can't do nothing. Just say, God, I don't know what you want me to do, but I just want to take and dedicate these time. Now, you might not be able to do it all in one. Now that you get up early, like I do, get up early, and then you can start early, you know, get up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. But if you had to go to work at that time, at 6 o'clock, you'll probably be up. No, some folks don't get up to like 30 minutes before it's time for them to go to work. I don't know how they do it, but I'd be done to the world, man. I'd be dead to the world trying to do that. I try to do that. I can't do it. I got to get up 2 or 3 hours before time, you know, before my brain and body connects one another. I think medically they say that's how that works. You know, it takes 3 hours for our brain and our body to come into one. So if we give ourselves, takes that time, if we take 3 hours to do that, then we can get up. If we got to be work at 6, then we get up at 3 and then start talking to God. Start reading our Bible. Start talking to God. Say, Lord, what would you want me to do? You know, early in the morning, David sought the Lord early in the morning. They turned it, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they turned themselves head against the wall. They began to pray to God, and God so faithfully protected them. I'm sitting up there by the line. I'm laying on the line. I'm sleep on the line. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar. He's sitting up there getting ready. Where David at? Oh, he up there. He laying on the line. They all done got him wrapped up. It was a little chilly up there. He done pulled them lines up there and wrapped them up and just got nice and warm and just cozy. And the king just said, oh, my God, look at that. I ain't never seen nothing like that. These lines was hungry. We cast anybody in there, they just eat them right on up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego the same way. Man, the Bible said they come out smelling like they went in. You know, shoot, one of my favorite scents. You know, like, whew, man, what in the world? They in there having a party inside there. You know, we man, I tell you, but see what they did, they committed themselves to a place where that no matter what, they say, okay, you know what? If this don't happen, If for some odd reason that God isn't faithful, which we know he is going to be, you know what I'm saying? They already knew that he was going to be faithful. That's why they didn't worry about it. You know, that's why they went in. They went in. Everybody else got burned up except for them. I tried to fathom that in my mind. I got to stop. I just tried to fathom that in my mind. That this guy, the dude that opened up this door, got tore off. They just walked on in there. They closed it. Oh, somebody get me out of the door and close the door. You know, they're going to always put the folks on the folks. Go ahead. I want you five people to go there because we know we ain't got no use for y'all anyway. So go ahead on and open up the door. Yes, you do. If these cats going in here, I'm going to go right behind them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to hold on to them because there's something powerful about them. Hey, the woman had issue of blood. She just touched him and was gone, man. God almighty, you know. But the thing about it, folks, is that we just, man. And what did he say? He opened up the door, and what did he see? Oh, he sees three of them in there, four plus one. And the crazy thing is, he said, oh, you know what? This must be the Son of God. Don't even speak about nothing about the Son of God during them time. They have not spoken about the Son of God during that time. Hey, you don't believe it? Read it for yourself and see if they talk about before that. They even talk about the Son of God. Even when God created man, he said, let us. And then when he was talking to Nimrod, he said, let us confuse their tongues because they're going somewhere up there where they don't need to be because they're going to die once they get to the point where the atmosphere changes. Air going to get thin. Wonder why these people falling off the rock. They falling down. They ain't that. They healthy, man. They can't up there. They up there. They can't breathe. Let's stop this right now. So they confused. God said, let us confuse their tongues. But he never said anything about the Son of God. He said, the Son of Man. Son of Man. But he never said, what did he say? You said that in Job. Like, hey, what y'all doing? The sons of man coming up here. What y'all doing coming up here? The angels. Y'all want to find somebody to test? Yeah. Yeah, we're going to test. Test D. Test David. Test Jackie. Test Rebecca. Test Nikki. You know, test Linda. Test Joseph. Test John. Uh-huh. Test Portia. Test Kiana and Patrick. Test Katrina. Test them. Test Sharon and Connie. Uh-huh. Test Jesse. Yeah. That's it. Test us all, you know. I know they ain't not going to give up because you know why? They trust me. They're faithful. They're true, you know. True, you know. They're faithful and true because you know why? Because we know that you, Lord, are faithful and true. That's all God ever demonstrated to us, you know. So why not to go overboard for him? That's a better word for me to put it. Why not go overboard, you know? I'm a genius in right by right. You know why? Because God has gifted me with so many different things. I don't have no degree in nothing but a high school degree. But I'm a genius in my own right. Because you know why? Because God has imputed in me knowledge and wisdom, you know, that you can't get from a school. He's given me abilities that you can't get from a doctor's office. He's given not just me, but you too. You just have to exercise it. You just have to say, God, what is it? Show me what I'm supposed to be doing. Show me your will. Gotta stop. Anyway, take that, and we're going to pray. Father, God, in the name of Jesus, I love you. We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you for your word. We love you, God, because you are so great in us. We thank you for your word. Oh, God, I pray right now, God, that you would just heal our minds. First of all, heal our minds, oh God. Open up our eyes. Make our eyes alive, not just dead eyes. Make them alive so that when people look in our eyes, they would see you, God. They would look at us and say, it's something about you. I don't understand what it is, but I see something different inside of you. I remember a time when people look at us, used to look at us, and they could see God's you. They could see your glory. They could see your power. They could see your Holy Ghost flowing inside of us, bubbling inside of us when they look into our eyes. So God, I pray right now, God, that you would just heal us, oh God, of all our hurts and thank God that you would deliver us from all, not going to say hardship, because we know that we are tested every day, tried every day. And the trying of our faith makes us even stronger in you. So God, but I do pray that our eyes will be open. No, God, put blindness on our eyes so that way we'll be focused even more in the name of Jesus. Oh God, just take control of us. Oh God, we submit ourselves to you as we always have said, and sometimes we don't, but nevertheless, oh God, we thank you for your faithfulness today, God, in the name of Jesus. And we just trust and we love you right now. And God, I also pray right now, God, for all this, for the sacrament that we about, the communion that we about to embark on, oh God. I pray right now, God, for the juice, the Kool-Aid, the soda, whatever we got, whatever water, whatever we were using to represent your blood, oh God. I pray right now, God, that you would just anoint that. Anoint the wafer, the cracker, the cookie, or whatever it is, oh God. Anoint it right now, God, so that as we eat and drink, oh God, that healing will take place in our bodies, oh God. Healing will take place in our mind. Healing will take place in where it needs to be done at, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So God, take it. Take it now, God. Take it. Use us right now, God, for your glory right now in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, we just love you right now. And, Father, we just thank you for all things that you have done here today, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory. Amen.